We're in a sermon series on the book of John, or the books of John. I put up the Gospel of John, but I've explained that many times, that it's more than that. But within this series, we have now gone into a semi-series, a sub-series, if you will, of relationships. And today is the, well, the Lord willing that this is the last one of the relationship side of the sermon series. And then we will get more into it when I resume in a couple weeks here. Second John, we're going to turn to today. The words will be up here as well, and we're going to go to verses 5 and 6. I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you have heard from the beginning. Father, bless this time as we look into your word and expound on it. May it be spirit-driven, Father-loved. And God, I just pray that I will decrease and you will increase in this message. And Lord, that the cross will go before it. May we all come closer to you in relationship because of what you have to say to us today, in Jesus' name, amen. In the first sermon on this series, we talked about John's main theme of love, choosing to love others. John talks a lot about love in his letters, but his words really reflect the heart of Jesus. We are called to love God with all our being, and we're called to love others as ourselves. Pastor Brent talked, I think it was on Valentine's Day, he talked about the three different types of love, not just loving God and loving others. But there's another part in there because it says love others as yourself. So you have to love yourself as well. There's three loves. Love God, love others, love yourself. I believe that was you. Yeah. Can't remember. Was it? Yeah, good. Yeah, I should check those things out before I preach, right? Yeah. That's what Jesus taught us, and it's how he lived. Think of it. Everything in the scriptures can be summed up in the single thought, love. Yet even more profound in this is when you take these commandments together, Jesus declares something even more radical, that the way in which you love those around you is the reflection of how you love God. The two are not just inseparable, they are the same. Love. Just simply love. John 3, verses 16 and 17, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We mentioned in our past sermons how our purpose in life is to give to others with the kind of passion and the kind of abandon we've seen Jesus already model to us. It's all about relationship. It was about relationship in the beginning. Throughout our lives, it should be all about relationship. In the end, it'll all be about relationship. And remember, I said those wonderful words that life would be so much easier to live if it wasn't for other people. However, we need other people in order to live in this life. And in order to live in this life, we need to love those people, even the ones that annoy you. Even the ones that annoy you, you need to love them. How many of you have ever been annoyed by the person that's sitting right beside you? How many of you have just lied? It's easier to actually talk about it that way because the person you're sitting beside is probably somebody you already love. So now, how about the person that's sitting away from you? Are you sitting away from them because of the fact that they annoy you? Just a question. Just because you're convicted right now doesn't mean anything. It's not condemnation. It might be conviction. Just think about it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Do you cross the street when you see certain people walking down the street? Or do you go to another aisle at the grocery store just because you see another person there? Just a question. The reason I can ask these questions is because I've experienced them, both on the receiving end and on the giving end. I'm human too. Sorry to burst your bubble. Good, you didn't have a bubble. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, that's what I didn't hear was the amen, so I'm sure that there wasn't there. Throughout our lives, it should be all about relationship. And the end, it'll be all about relationship. You look in the book of Revelation, people are scared of that book. But what it shows us is that God wants relationship with us. Because at the end of time, he's going to put on a huge feast to celebrate our relationship with him. That's what he's wanting. God so loves us that he gives us the Son. The Son so loves us that he gives us of the Spirit. The Spirit so loves us that he gives us of the Father. And the Father loves the world so much that he sent us into the world full of the Holy Spirit and of the fullness of Christ. These are things that I mentioned in the past weeks. What is your relationship like with God? What is it like with others? Do they reflect Jesus' relationship with God and others? Which brings us to today's message. It's love, not the love of the world, but the love of God. When we love God, we hate the world, and we hate the things of the world. So does your life reflect your love for God, or does it reflect your love for the things of the world? The love we talk about is God wanting a relationship with everyone. And he's wanting everyone to have a relationship with him and with everyone else. According to Jesus, what's the easiest way to spot his followers? Is it the Christian bumper stickers on their car? Is it the fact that they have a fish badge on their vehicle? Is it the cross around their neck? No, that's not how you tell someone is a Christian. A man was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. And he did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious, honking her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. She dropped her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, and 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car. I trust you don't do those things. Or at least if you do, that you don't have anything that signifies where you go to church." Some people believe that it is only the people that are a part of their belief system that are the only Christians. Do you? When you are talking about other people from other churches or the churches in general, how do you talk about them? I've heard many derogatory terms that signify other people who worship God from people in this congregation. Oops. Pastor does listen sometimes. And the pastor does talk about them things sometimes. Being a Catholic isn't a relationship. Being Anglican and united is not a relationship. Being Pentecostal is not a relationship. Being insert denomination here, is not a relationship. Those are belief systems, and those are worship styles. That is what those things are. Just because we claim to be a Pentecostal church does not mean that we are in a relationship with God. It means that's usually the style of worship that we do at the time. Now, my personal belief system lines up with the Pentecostal system, so I claim to be a Pentecostal. But just because I claim to be a Pentecostal does not mean I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I believe in the living Son of God, and I claim it all the time. We do not show ourselves as followers of Christ by any of these things. We show ourselves to be Christ followers by the way we treat each other. John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Can I ask you a question? Do you truly love the Catholics as much as you love the people in this church? Interesting question. Do you love the non-Christians even as much as you love the people in this church? Did you think about those? Your best friend might be a non-Christian. It actually, in some ways, it should be. Some ways. We're also supposed to make sure that our best friends are Christians so we can be encouraged, etc. Anyhow, God's kingdom isn't made up of go-it-alone heroes, but a family that cares, supports, encourages, confronts, challenges, and motivates each other. That's what we are. We are a family. It's not always easy. In fact, it's kind of hard. Because who hurts you the most? The ones you love. Who are the ones that you try to push off to the side more than you will the others? It's usually the ones you love. Why do I say that? Well, let's just look at it. If your family is kind of struggling and there's another family that's struggling, who would you serve first? Your family or the others? And Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us that we are to continue on doing good works, especially for those of the faith. So those of us, those that are in the family, we're supposed to take care of them. I've talked to you before about how important it is to love ourselves first. You know, Jesus and others in you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. First you love Jesus, then you love others, then you love yourself. But how do you love others as yourself if you haven't loved yourself first? It says, as yourself. It doesn't say that you lift yourself higher. It says you love others as yourself. You're supposed to think more highly of others than yourself. However, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. How are we supposed to give to the needy if we have nothing to give? You have to take care of yourself in order to give. It's a touchy subject because we are taught throughout our history, throughout the church's history, that we give to others first. But we need to take care of ourselves so that we can give to others. An interesting thing about the Christian way is that the love we have for each other is not only with those we know. We can easily show those that we don't know the same love. In 3 John chapter 5, or verses 5 and 6, Emma, there's a scripture there for it. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. Visitors to our church or or even when we visit other churches, it's amazing how easy it is to love others of the same family. How many of you have ever gone to a church that you never knew before, and as soon as you walked in, you felt like you were a part, you were home? You know, it happens all the time. And I pray that that's how people feel when they come into this church, that they all of a sudden feel, hey, this is home. These are family. They might be long-lost relatives with a few nuts, but they're still family. I have a poster on our wall that says, my family tree is full of nuts. And it's surrounded by pictures of my family. And come over and see. You'll see it. We also have a pillow that says the same thing, because we're trying to get the truth into us so that we don't get so frustrated with our family. Just like, it's true I have those things, but I am just joking, you know. It is true that I have those little things to remind me. Yeah. Jen and I experience this when we go to Gateway Church. You know, I don't know if you've noticed at all in the past few years that I love Gateway Church. I like going there. I like hearing Pastor Robert speak. And we're going again next week. On Saturday, we leave. I'm so excited. In fact, a few days ago, I sent out a text to everyone saying, or an email or something that said, 11 days and we're heading out. And they were like, what? 11 days? It's like they're not even counting down. I've been counting down since like January. But it's an excitement to go there. And one of those reasons is because when we go there, it's like we're part of a family. And I know that next Sunday morning, I'm not sure where we're going yet. Those of you who are going, I'm not sure exactly where we're going to be going for our services, but everyone that we've gone to since when we've been going to Dallas, I felt at home. You know, we went to Eagle Mountain International Church, where Kenneth Copeland's ministries are based out of, and we walked in and you felt at home. The main reason for that one is because their worship style is very similar to ours. It's almost like that we were just in a bigger family worship center. But then when the one time we went to T.D. Jakes' church, and while it was different than what we are at, it was wonderful. When we walked in, I tell you, they had breakfast for us. We had a little buffet for visitors, and then they took us down to the front row, and we were treated like family with all these people that we don't know, and we were obviously visitors. Even if I would have been tanned, I would have been obviously a visitor. And in fact, we walked down the one aisle, and all of a sudden this person comes up and says, you're visitors, aren't you? It's like, well, yes. And then they directed us where we were supposed to go. But then we had church, and I'm talking church. And if you're in the States, you understand what it means when you have church. And it was a completely different worship style in regards to the exuberance that was shown, but we were still with family. And then we would go to Gateway, and it's like the middle of the road. You have exuberance with reservation. It's just interesting to watch. And it's interesting to go to these churches and experience that. Ed and I, when we were down there, we went to John G. Lake Ministries and went to their Bible study. And as soon as we walked in, you know, they just embraced us. They allowed us to even speak a little bit and different things. It was around family. And it's important to have that aspect when you are in a Christian family, that you can go to any church that serves God and you can be with family. The thing is that we need each other. I mentioned a few weeks ago my need for all of you. But it's more than that you need me and we need each other. We're all in this thing together and we need to work together. Just like our vision statement says, families together, worshiping and serving and giving. We show this quite well at our church. Last week we had our annual corn roast. Yesterday we had men's breakfast. Tomorrow there's ladies' fellowship, and the list continues. We need to remember that we aren't islands unto ourselves. We need the fellowship. Yes, it's easier to go through life without other people, but it sure is boring and lonely. How would it be if everyone was just like you? I think you'd get annoyed with yourself. That's my opinion. Not saying that individually to anybody here because I find you annoying or anything. But I know if everyone was just like me, I'd be annoyed with myself because I find myself to be annoying sometimes. Sometimes I just sit there and laugh, but it would be boring because we need each other. The only way for us to truly grow is with the encouragement about others. I heard one pastor, a prominent person in the supernatural. He said that there was a time when he had to stop preaching the way he was. Why? Because his church wasn't following along. They weren't there with him. And he was just going out on his own. And it's important that we go together, that we are there at the same time, going together, walking together, that we all catch the truths of the scriptures, and we catch them all so that we can move forward. We need the fellowship. And if we don't fellowship, really the only one that hurts is the one that misses it. Those are the people that miss out. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. When we gather together, we encourage one another. We can hold on to the hope that we have unswervingly, without turning. How? Because the person that's sitting beside you is going through some of the same stuff you are. And we can all hope together. That's why I love the fact that we have a prayer chain and we have our app that has the prayer requests and stuff on it, because when a prayer comes up, we can pray. And there's people praying all in different areas of this world. But I really like the middle part where it says we spur one another on to love and good works. God wants us to gather together and spur each other on and encourage one another so that we can prove that we are his disciples because of our love for one another and the works that we do in Jesus' name. Last week, we had the opportunity to put this into practice. I want to call Dwight and Kathy up.
Last Thursday afternoon, my wife came out to the field to feed me supper. And in the process, she went to come to the field. She come partway across the field, and she's come back. And I wait for her to go to the other end and wait for me. And as she went to the other end, she and Brianna were sitting in the vehicle, and she said, Brianna, we got dust coming out from underneath the vehicle. No, Brianna, we got smoke. And Brianna says, what do we do now? Kathy says, get out! Anyway, we lost our vehicle. So last Sunday, Corey asked me if we could take up an offering for us. And thank you guys very much. It come to, I can't remember the figure, so it come to $4,958.26. So Tuesday we were hassling over trying to rent the vehicle, and it was such a hassle. I said, let's go see what we can find. So last Tuesday, we bought a vehicle. It's a Black Journey sitting out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The whole congregation, you're such a good family.
A few weeks ago, I went in to buy a birthday card for someone. And as I was looking on the shelf, this card jumped out at me. In the very front of it, I do need my phone, of course. But on that card, the very front page said, "Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. is there anything too hard for me? And it literally jumped out at me. And I bought it. And I stuck it on my mirror. I have this habit of tacking things on my mirror. And it just keeps jumping at me. And when the van burned, I stood there and I looked at it and I said, God, I have no idea where you're leading me. But is anything too hard for you? And then we came to church and I look at it and I say, wow, we are a God that just really looks down on us and blesses us, and we have no idea the blessings that he wants to give us. And I can only say thank you from the very bottom of my heart.
Amen. You guys stay up here. Dwight first told me when I had approached them about this, and I didn't approach them before I went ahead anyways, but because they found out through Facebook that we were going to do this. Dwight told me that he was angry. And that the reason being, here's a family that shows giving to the nth degree. Well over 60 foster children have passed through their home. They give to anybody that walks into the door. There's food. Way too much food. No matter where it is, because they love to give. You know what the hardest part of people who give is? To receive. And so that was the thoughts that went through Dwight's head when he first heard about this, was that the anger first, because I don't need this. God will provide. Well, guess what? God provides by giving. And I said to Dwight the other day, I said, you know, if everybody in the world gave, but nobody would receive, we'd have nobody to give to. So it's important. It's better to give than receive, yes. But we need to receive in order for there to be giving. So those of you who are givers and hate receiving, learn to receive. Because the people, the way that you've been blessed by giving, those other people are wanting to experience. And with you not accepting their gifts, they're not able to receive the blessing. It's an important process. It's important to give, but it's also important to receive. Remember that. But I want to have a word of prayer for Dwight and Kathy, and also for all of us, that we learn how to encourage and bless, just like we already know, but we need to go even further in it, all of it. So let us pray. If you will all stand, Jen will come to the piano. And Father God, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to bless. I thank you, Lord, for Dwight and Kathy. I do not thank you for the circumstances that happened because of the stresses and the worries that became part of it. But I thank you that it did happen so that they could be blessed, so that they could be shown the love of Christ through this church. And I thank you for this church that stepped up to the plate and showed love for this family. Thank you for the testimony that went out to their family in regards to what this church loves to do, and that's to bless others. We bless around the world and we bless at home. So, Father, I pray your eternal blessings upon the Scammahorn family. May it be far-reaching, more than just their own personal family, but their extended family and their friends. And every time that they put their hand to something to give, that the blessings come back 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so, Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that we gave. And now, Lord, we look to you for blessings. We look into our finances of this church, and Lord, I thank you for what you have done, how you have blessed this congregation. And Father, I pray that it continues so that we can continue giving out as you have commanded us to do. So, Father, as we gather together, may we encourage one another. May we bring the steadfast hope that is without wavering, without turning. And, Lord, may we understand that we are here to experience love and to give it out. And so, Father, thank you for your love. And thank you for your word today. And God, as we go our separate ways, may the love of God be furthermost in our actions and in our thoughts and in our words. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.